Hey guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about who you are, we talk about how the world sees you before you ever say a word. Because the truth is, people decide fast. They look at you, they make assumptions, and then they move on. And most of the time, you don't get a second chance at that first impression. So, what do you do when people already think they know you? When you're judged before you even get the chance to show up, and God did not create you to shrink yourself to fit someone else's assumptions. So today we're going to talk about perception, identity, and what it takes to move forward anyway. Today's guest is Jake April. He is a speaker helping people challenge assumptions and step forward even when they feel judged. Jake, thank you so much for coming in the hot seat today. Why don't you take me to a moment in your life where you knew someone had already judged you before you even opened your mouth, and what happened?
No, thank you, Brendan. That's a good question. It happens more often than not. That is a very good question. I would say it's my friends that are my, who I thought were my friends that school, mainstream school. And when I was a big sports fan growing up, still am, but I wanted to play sports and I had difficulty doing that, but I still wanted to be part of recess. And I actually had a good arm, so as long as people weren't tackling me, I was good. And then, so I decided to get into a game. They begrudgingly allowed me to get into a game, and they immediately said, "Take it easy on him. He can't throw or whatever like that," because I was disabled, physically disabled, and you could see it when you see me stand and walk and see my hand and stuff. So they said, "Take it easy on him." Then all of a sudden, I threw a very long pass for a touchdown, and then everyone wanted me to be their quarterback on their team afterwards. So it kind of felt very good. That I would say would be my number one highlight.
No, I think that's amazing, 'cause they definitely weren't expecting it. So, I think that's awesome. How early did you realize that people were making assumptions about you? Was it in that moment? Had it happened previously?
I cannot pinpoint a moment that I remember. I'm sure going back to when I was a kid, I'm sure my parents have moments and I remember them telling me it. So one of the moments was when my doctor was like, "You might be able to walk," because I was born 3 months premature at pound 13, developed cerebral palsy because of that. And the doctor said he might be able to walk, but he might need a helmet to protect himself when he would fall, inevitably fall. And I did have difficulty keeping my balance when I was younger, but I was able to walk without any assistance. So I'm glad that I was also able to prove them wrong. And it's not about the task necessarily. It's more about proving the people wrong who I care about. If someone says, "Hey, like, I don't think he could go up Machu Picchu," I could probably do that if I wanted to, because people have done it with a disability. But do I really need to prove them wrong to do something like that? That's only gonna tire me, and I don't like to do things just to say I did them. It's something that I consider when I'm doing something. I like to do something with a purpose.
Yeah. What is Jake, let me change gears here on you a little bit. What is the message that you really want to be known for when people think of you or like your legacy? What do you want them to think?
Could I just turn my phone off for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Sorry. So, you mentioned my legacy. What do I want my legacy to be? I just want it to be something that when people think of me, want him to say he left nothing on the line. The things he cared about, he did. And I say this and I say it begrudgingly, but people tend to be able to relate to this. So, and if you have a different way of saying it, it's good too. But I think, like, excuse me, when I envision myself sitting on my deathbed, I want to be able to say, hey, I did everything that I wanted to do in life. That doesn't mean I need to do it today, tomorrow, 5 years from now. 10 years from now, hopefully I'll live a life of fulfillment 60 years from now. But I want to be able to say, hey, I did it. And I hope I'm able to say, hey, Jake made me do this, not because he had a disability, but because he instilled in me that I'm going to do whatever I want to do despite my challenges. Maybe it's a disability for you. Maybe it's maybe a sickness or something that is challenging in life. Everyone has a challenge. You just have to fill in the blank because unfortunately we all have challenges in life.
Yeah. And see, this is why I'm really happy that you're speaking to my audience today because that is what the show is about. It is about the fact that we're all in the arena, we're all going through it, our challenges all look different. And your message of do it anyway, to live the fulfilling life, to step into your potential, to help other people stop being afraid is exactly what I want my listeners to take away from every episode. And
Yeah.
I get excuses all the time that people don't think their story is important, that it doesn't matter, that, they're not ready. I mean, they have all these issues. I know people that wouldn't even climb a mountain on their best day. They wouldn't even
Yeah.
pretend they would do that. And you're out
Yeah.
here doing those things. I think that is.
I'm not saying no, climbing the mountain is something I'm not doing because
Right.
I don't see a purpose on it, but
Yeah.
figuratively climbing the mountain, yes. I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
Oh,
I
no,
just,
you're good.
yeah. I want to make sure people know I'm not doing things just to do them. I'm doing things on purpose. So I realize that at the end of my life, I did everything I want. But I used to do things just to say, hey, look at me and look at what I did.
Yeah.
But that is not helpful anymore. It drains my energy physically and emotionally, and it's not, even though it might be a little bit different, a little bit more because I have a physical disability, it's not any different than someone else trying to do something that's hard for them that doesn't make very much of a difference in their life.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And I think society and culture, we always feel like we have to compete with each other or one up each other or kind of prove ourselves, like just for the sake of proving ourselves, when that's not a life that's in alignment. And I feel like that's the realization you've come to, is that you're only doing the things that really serve you, that are good for you, that work in your space. So proving yourself in the space is a waste of energy, and it's not going to be a fun legacy because you're going to have just thought about everybody else and not yourself your whole life. What is the difference between confidence and proving people wrong?
Great question. Thank you for it. Confidence is having the ability to know you could do something despite that person not thinking you could do it and doing it for yourself, proving people wrong. Or you might prove yourself wrong. Proving people wrong means you're doing something just to prove them wrong. There is no positive intent for you. It's because you want to get back at them for what they said. But as I said, I live in an apartment and I live up on the 29th floor, and for the longest time, I wanted to take the stairs all the way up to the 29th floor to just prove to people I could do it. That doesn't make sense. So it's something that you do something because you see a positive aspect that's going to possibly affect yourself, not possibly affect yourself because you're trying to do it for someone else, but honestly, doing it for yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Where do you see people that you're talking to that, you're sharing your journey with? Where do you see them hold themselves back because of how they're perceived?
Think in all spaces, but specifically, for me, I see it in education because that was something that I struggled with all my life. And it's all encompassing for every one of us because hopefully most of it, us go to school in here, no matter how what level you go to school in, and you've inevitably have had a problem or struggled with a subject. So that's where I see people saying, okay, that's my struggle, and then taking that one struggle and immediately seeing that they struggle in everywhere else because they're struggling on a math problem. And that's not life. That's just society telling you that because you can't do something that's, or you have difficulty do something that doing something that you're supposed to do, that you're stupid because of it, or you're not smart because of it. And that's not the deal at all. It took me a while to grasp that, but it's interesting. Now that I'm an adult, I grasp it easier. For example, I might not be able to run around with my nieces and make sure they don't fall because I would inevitably fall. But if my sister wants someone to take a look at her paper, she's gonna come to me because I'm very good at English. And my mom, she's very good at helping us emotionally, but she's not very good at education, and she'll tell you that. At least like math, I think she struggled with. And then my dad, he's very good at being a doctor. He's a very good doctor at what he does, but he'll be the first one to tell you that Maybe he'll have difficulty running around the track or something like that
Yeah.
because he has bad knees.
Yeah.
So it's about, and I don't know if I gave them appropriate analogy, so I apologize to them if they watch this, but it's about realizing what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, and getting rid of that negative thought. Not necessarily getting rid of it, but not trying to pursue that struggle that you have just to pursue it.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I really wanted to be a sports broadcaster, and I still do. And that's part of the reason why I got into public speaking, was to better my voice. And because people that I worked with, I was lucky to work at a school radio station, told me that my voice was not as good as it should be, and I would probably not be able to succeed as a play-by-play announcer. And that wasn't his exact words, but that was something similar that he said. And I appreciate his honesty because he didn't lead me down a path that would get me excited to be able to maybe do play-by-play in college, and I wouldn't be able to. But now I'm looking at it and saying, hey, that guy said I can't do it, with all due respect, because he doesn't know my challenge, but as well as I do. But I still wanna, I'm constantly gonna struggle with it,
Yeah.
but that doesn't mean I should give it up on it because it's a struggle. And right now, I have given up on it, so to speak, but I definitely want to go back to it and see what I can do, because that's something that I struggle with, but I'm very passionate about. So if you have a struggle and you're passionate about something, by all means, go for it. If you have a struggle and you're not passionate about it, then you could leave it on the side of the road, so to speak.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you have to get over the struggle. The struggle could still be there, and you can learn how to deal with the struggle. It just means that you see you don't need to attack it head on, because that's not what you care about in life.
Yeah. I think that's a great message for everybody, and I think that's part of our human experience is that human connection because we support each other with our different strengths and weaknesses, right? Like you have this great family where everybody plays a part. Everybody knows what they're great at and everybody knows what they're not. And I think that's what at our core makes us who we are, makes us special. You're very solid in your identity and I can feel that with how you're speaking. How did you build, like how would you teach my audience to build their identity without letting other people define it?
Take one step at a time. And it's a team aspect of it. I love sports, and this is how it translates. You have a team, and then you have an opponent. And sometimes you get confused in the beginning of your life thinking that your opponent is part of your team. But they're really not. They're your opponent. They might be looking out for your best interest because they don't want to excite you. But someone really is wanting to succeed. You find your team and you take those small steps along with those teammates, because inevitably there's going to be someone that believes in you. And if not, you believe in yourself. Even if you don't believe in yourself, you take that first step. I can't tell you how many people have made it on social media just by taking that first step and posting. And so many people have been told you can't make money off of social media. Now look at Mr. Beast, Lewis Howell, Jay Shetty, everyone that was told that they couldn't do something are doing it. And they're doing it because they made the, well, it's not a quote that I made up, but they made their message.
Yeah.
And it's something that it's not easy to do, but it definitely is a powerful thing to do.
Yep.
And inevitably, you're going to take some steps back, maybe some more steps back, then some more steps forward in the beginning. But at least what you could say is that I tried to do it. And then when you, as I said, when you're on your deathbed, you could say, at least I tried. I gave it my all. I left everything that I wanted to leave out on the field, my blood, sweat, and tears. And once again, this is not my quotes. These are not my quotes, but just something that I believe in.
Yeah. Where can my audience get resourced with you? Where can they find you? Where can they follow you?
Yeah. So thank you very much, most of all, Brendan, for the time here today. And some of the resources that they can follow me on are social media. I'm on social media under J April _ First Impressions. Most of my media is somewhat similar to that, because I did it. I have a TED Talk on First Impressions. I should know exactly what my handles are, but you can find me and my handles under jake-april.com, and you can see some of my work there, where I showcase some of the podcasts that I'm on, and I can't wait to showcase this one. So thank you for your time and energy today. I greatly appreciate it. I know I had some technical difficulties at one point, but thank you for staying with me. And hopefully your audience gets something out of this.
Yeah, no, it was great. And Jake, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not your story alone. It's how you've chosen to move through it. You didn't let perception define you. You didn't let assumptions stop you. You stepped forward anyway. And now you're helping other people do the same, so that they stop shrinking, they stop waiting, and stop letting the fear of judgment hold them back. I think that's incredibly powerful. And I think it makes you special. To my listeners, at the end of the day, people are going to judge you no matter what you do. Before you speak, before you show up, before they know anything real about you, that is not new. The question is, what are you going to do with it? God didn't create you to live inside someone else's assumptions. He created you to show up fully, to be bold, and to be unapologetic. And please remember, your mess is your message. Even the judgment, even the misunderstandings, even the moments where people get you wrong, that is where your strength is built. If this episode spoke to you, please share it out. There is someone that needs Jake's message today, and we can't get it to them without your help. So please share this out. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, come tell me why you're special. Jake, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming on and serving my audience today.
No, thank you for serving me by inviting me.
Of course.
Giving me a chance to serve them by inviting me, Brendan. I greatly appreciate it.
Of course.